listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. My co-host extraordinaire, Dr. Melody Fox, is tending to one of her clients, so unfortunately, she won't be with us today. But it still will be a great show, as our guest will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Each week, we will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, and dealing with addictions. And with over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in this field. We will bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. And our topic today is hypnotherapy and how a good hypnotherapist can affect change that helps children feel good about themselves and feel in control to make good choices. Our guest today is child hypnotherapy specialist Mark Drucker. Originally from New York City, Mark now lives in Orange County, California. He holds a double master's degree in education and special ed, having been a special education teacher for over a decade. Mark is a certified clinical hypnotherapist and credentialed master hypnotist. Mark, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. It's good to be on the show.
Well, it is great to have you. It is Valentine's Day. It is a time of love. And hopefully a little hypnosis here can maybe get everybody kind of motivated and pumped up for a very loving day.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the things that I'd like you to do is if you can explain a little bit to our listeners about hypnosis, what it is and what it is not.
Okay. Well, I'll start with what it's not. It's not mind control. Hypnotherapy is a process that's shared between the client who's looking to make the change he wants and the hypnotherapist. We can't force anyone to do anything they don't want to do or would normally do. The way it works is there are three parts to the mind. There's the conscious mind. You and I are using right now is our conscious mind. There's the unconscious mind. It's what you and I have, which goes on with everybody while we're sleeping. We some of us dream, some don't, but we don't have much control over that or the direction in which it goes. Our subconscious mind is really essentially who we are as a person. It holds all of our memories, all of our beliefs, all of our perceptions, all of our feelings. Essentially, who we are is our subconscious mind. And as a hypnotherapist, what I do is I easily and quickly bring people into their subconscious mind so that they could, I guess you could say, evaluate their living, the way they live, the way they view things, the way they see themselves, and they can make the adjustments there. And that's where the permanent adjustments take place as opposed to, you know, the New Year's resolution. This New Year's, I'm going to do this. This year, I'm going to accomplish that. And it's less than 1% of people who make those New Year's resolutions accomplish it. Why? Because they consciously make a conscious decision. But that wears off after a few days. Hypnotherapy is a permanent solution to making the changes that people want to make.
Now, Mark, you mentioned it as a permanent change. I mean, how many sessions does it take to really establish a permanent change? I know there are people that go to try to quit smoking or a variety of different things, but, I mean, is there a number there, or is it just something that varies depending on the person?
It depends on which hypnotherapist you're talking to, and since you're talking to me, I have a very specialized program. It's a 5-session program. It's not 6 sessions. It's not 4 sessions. It's 5 sessions. And in that time, we're not doing standard hypnotherapy work. We're doing some really advanced work that only very few people in this world could do. Your standard bargain basement hypnotherapist will learn direct suggestion in a 1-week course or through course over the internet and just be able to whisper suggestions in someone's ears while they're in a relaxed state of hypnotic relaxation. Those direct suggestions, they'll last, like a hypnosis show. They'll last for a couple of hours, maybe a couple of days, but they'll soon fade away. The system I use is very, very deep. It requires a lot of dialoguing with the client while they're in hypnosis. And they essentially make the changes that they want to make. I'm more of a guide to do some very deep emotional hypnotherapy work. And if the work differs, if I'm working from a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old, the big picture process is the same, but the way I go about doing it varies.
Okay. Now, how does that
age and maturity level?
And how does that differ as far as, you know, adults versus teenagers? And I want to apologize. I don't know if anybody else can hear it out there, but at least in my headphones, at times we're breaking up a little bit. And if it continues, I'll go ahead and I'll call you back. But did you hear that question? Am I breaking up?
I hear you clearly. I've tried to make an adjustment with my phone. I hope this works better for you.
Actually, that works a lot better. That's great.
Then we're sailing. The rule of thumb when working with children is 1 minute of hypnotherapy per the age of the child. So if we're talking about a 5-year-old, we're only going to really work for 5 minutes. The difference between working with a child and a teen, and let's put teens and adults in the same category just for the moment, it's about the induction phase of getting people into hypnosis. But with adults, you have to do a formal induction. For me, that only lasts about 3 or 4 seconds. It's not a lot of time. I've been doing this for so long that I'm a pragmatist. I'm here for people to see me for results, not for the foo-foo stuff. My goal is to get them into a state of hypnotic relaxation as quickly as possible, testing, and then do some testing and deepening, and then start the therapeutic process. With children, however, it's we're talking about children below the age of 10, quote, particularly 7, 6, 5-year-olds. They don't need an induction at all. They live in a world, all they have is hypnotherapy. They don't have a conscious part of their mind developed yet. Just like little kids believe in Santa Claus,
mm-hmm.
And as an adult, and I hope I'm not ruining it for anyone in your audience, as an adult, if you really analyze the whole Santa Claus thing, there are a lot of holes in that story that doesn't make sense. I'm not critiquing any religion right now. I'm just saying, how does the big fat man get through every chimney? How does he, you know, there's
right.
flies on the... There's so many holes in it, but yet kids believe it. And then they continue believing it well past the age when they know they don't. It's because children are born with a blank slate. And so they believe in everything they hear, which is a great thing. It's also could be a dangerous thing if adults are careless with what they say. Kids mm-hmm. will hear and believe and pick up on everything. And those perceptions are often skewed, and that's what will often lead to problems, is a misperception turns into a truth. And it's unfortunately a lot of times it becomes truth about that little child, and that little truth that might be something small, like, you know, the big brother or the mom made a comment that wasn't kind, that might have, you know, said that they weren't, that might have communicated to the kid that there's something wrong with them or they're not good enough. Those type of things are the seeds that are planted, affect their child's self-esteem as they grow up. It only gets reinforced in school. Kids pick on other kids, and so on. It's just the way it goes. So it's important to have children feel good about themselves and understand their self-worth.
Well, now I've heard different numbers thrown out there, but really, what percentage of people can and do go under hypnosis?
Anyone of normal intelligence can go into hypnosis. All they have to be is of normal intelligence or higher, and they have to have a willingness. That being said, I don't think there's only been one or two people have not been able to put into hypnosis, and usually it was because they were personal friends who just want to do it as a goof. And never professionally, I've never had a client who's not been able to go into hypnotherapy, into hypnosis, excuse me. And when I do, the clients, I make sure that I do lots of covert testing so I know how deep they are, so I can get them to a deeper part. And then I do overt testing, which is done for their purposes, not for mine. I already know how deep they are in hypnosis, so they don't. So I do a convincer exercise, something campy, like an eye lock or have them lock their arm in place and they can't lower it. It only lasts for a couple of seconds, but it's a clear indicator to them that, hey, a change has happened and they're in hypnosis. And that's what kind of builds the belief. I only do it on the first session. They know they're there. By the time you go to the second session, where I normally do age regression, they know for sure when they're reliving a past event in their life, it's not a question of whether they're in hypnosis or not. They're there. Okay. Their affect changes, the way they speak, the way they talk, they're the younger form of themselves.
All right. Well, now, what is the most common challenges that children seem to benefit most from through hypnotherapy?
I'd say there are three major areas. There's fears and phobias, which are big with kids. So I'm afraid to eat my vegetables. I'm afraid to fly an airplane. I'm afraid to go to the bathroom. That's pretty old. I get blocked. Of different fears of passing, would be surprised. We're talking children now. Also, anxiety is huge, and self-esteem is huge. So those are the three biggest areas.
Okay.
And anything that has to do with a traumatic event or a post-traumatic event, that's also an area of my expertise.
Well, why did you get interested in hypnosis yourself?
That's a good question. I was living in New York, and I graduated my undergraduate degree in 96. Shamefully, I was a cigarette smoker, and I wanted to quit smoking, and a friend referred me to somebody, and I went in, and I quit smoking, and it was just it was so much more than I expected. It just blew me away, like nothing I've ever experienced before. And I just knew right then and there, number one, I was a non-smoker and I was never going to smoke again. But number two, I knew that I needed to learn the secrets of how it was done. I need to learn about this. And I started a pursuit, which led into a career.
And how many sessions did it take for you to quit smoking?
I did one double session. I did one double session, so it was very moving. And the other aspect was I was 22 years old and I threw down several hundred dollars to quit smoking, and I told all my friends and family about it. So I also had the additional pressure of all those things, knowing that if I was to ever smoke a cigarette again, it would be a $600 cigarette. So that also helped me out quite a bit.
Well, but now going along those lines, do you think that it would be less effective if from a government level it was something that was offered for people that wanted to quit smoking, that they could go to a clinic and go through hypnotherapy to quit smoking? If it was offered and they didn't have to pay for it, do you think that would make that big a difference?
Yeah, I'd say it'd make a huge difference. I'd say it would take it to 50-50.
Wow.
The whole point, the point about the money is not about me making more money in my pocket, as far as the client is concerned. The point of the money is that it is, people have to really want it. They have to want to make the change. So if they go to a free clinic to get the service, they have to really want to quit smoking. It can't be something their wife is pressuring them into or their boyfriend is pressuring them into. The money is, knowing that money is on the line, is very effective, unfortunately. I mean, I don't like to bring money into things, but money is effective in getting people to really emotionally invest in the process. Obviously, it doesn't play a role when working with children and teens, because American money has no value to a 7-year-old.
Right.
They don't want to change for intrinsic reasons.
Now, and let's go into in a little bit what some of those are, but why after going as an adult and you end up quitting smoking, why did you feel that you wanted to specialize with working with children?
Well, shortly after I became a school teacher, and I saw how effective using hypnosis was. I started getting to know the real conditions of what children in New York and throughout the country were going through, and then the adults that they did. It's really, honestly, a combination of a group of kids, and most hypnotherapists are afraid of working with children. And we can talk about that in a minute, if you'd like. They'd rather work with addiction issues. They'd rather work with adults on the bread and butter, which is quitting smoking and losing weight. I've been doing that for well over a decade now, but it's not, certainly not my bread and butter. People go to other people for that. They come see me for that. But like I said, I work more with children, teens, traumatic issues, stress disorders, anxiety, self-confidence, feeling out of place, feeling insecure. Those are my, that's my specialty. And working with children, I've worked with many adults, and the thing with adults is they've gone through so much pain, so much torture, so much self-loathing, so much self-hatred that, gosh, if they're a 40-year-old who's been punishing themselves and living their life out of control for the last 20 years and suffering, I would have rather seen them when they were 15, 20 years old, 5, 6 years old, 8 years old, whatever that seed was planted, I'd rather see them there before they had to live through all the stuff that goes along with being a teenager and being an adult and having all those problems. And then they turn to things like, often, and they don't feel comfortable, they turn to things like drugs and promiscuity or whatever it is to distract them from the bad feelings they're feeling. I'd rather see them when they're teenagers so they don't have to live through all that stuff as adults.
Well, and I couldn't agree more, and I've been asked the question myself as to why we work with kids, and it's the same thing. We want to be able to catch them early, and I certainly agree with you, is that if we can catch them early, if we can get government to look at it and to see, think of all of the things that we can that we can prosper better in, and government, because they are so focused on money, all the money they can save, you know, fewer people that are going to be dealing with other problems, you know, take cigarettes, for instance. Now, if you have fewer people smoking cigarettes, you have fewer people going into hospitals, dealing with the diseases that come with that. So I certainly agree, the earlier we can catch it, the better. Now, what I'd like to do, I want to share a little bit of some comments. We have some questions and comments that have come in, and again, I thank everybody that is sending those in. We appreciate it, and for anybody else, if you have them, you can send them in to answers4thefamilyblog.com, and we will always do what we can to get them on the air. One that came in said, as a last option, we turned to hypnotherapy when conventional therapy was not working for our 15-year-old daughter, who was suffering from depression and showing signs of an addictive personality with both drugs and food, having put on 60 pounds of unhealthy weight. We are happy to report that she is showing signs of recovery. She has been drug-free for nearly a year and has lost just over 20 pounds over the same period. Do you feel that mainstream therapists are turning a blind eye to what obviously works better and faster?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate that young lady and her family for overcoming such big hurdles. I think that's great for them. I certainly don't want to condemn other mental health professionals like psychologists. I'll be honest with you, some are better than others. Some rely on an individual, the child, the teen, the whoever, coming to them on a weekly basis, sitting on the couch or the chair and telling them about their problems using standard cognitive behavioral therapy. And it is a long process. It can be very helpful. Some some psychologists and some psychiatrists are better than others. It's just the way it goes. I'd like to think that everyone has great intentions, but if I get referred, I get a lot of referrals from psychiatrists who don't want to put every kid on meds just because they've had some challenges in their lives. And so these wonderful psychologists who, instead of having a kid come in once a month and the insurance and all that stuff and just kind of taking from the system, they'll just say, refer him over to me and five sessions. Take that kid, for example. That kid was not happy. Money's not an intrinsic motivator for that one child who you just mentioned. She wanted to lose weight. She wanted to feel good about herself. She was unhappy. That's enough. That's plenty of motivation, because I could, if she's willing to work with me, a kid like that, we could turn things around in 5 weeks, five sessions, one session a week. We can turn the entire thing around and really have her focus on the things that she wants to do to make her happy instead of all the pressures around her. She can completely change her MO into one that she sees fit for herself. It's hard to be a teen. It's hard to fit in. It's hard to get it. Particularly here in Southern California, where it's, a lot of it is keeping up with the Joneses. It's a terrible amount of pressure.
Well, now, and from the standpoint, let's just take depression from that standpoint. So do you really believe that through hypnotherapy, a lot of the things that are bringing on depression can be dealt with to the point in which we would not need to medicate as many teens?
I think there are far too many teens that are over-medicated. I think there are many teens that require medication. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't make those calls. I'm not in a position to make those calls. I want to assume responsibility to make those calls. Their mental health professionals who refer them to me make those calls. And depression comes in slightly different forms. I mean, there is clinical depression where there might be a brain chemistry issue. And obviously, I don't deal with brain chemistry because I'm not a doctor. I don't give out medication or deal with that. I deal more with the type of depression for people with everyday problems or people who are in a slump, and I can get them out of that. It depends on if it's a chronic medical brain chemistry condition or just a lifestyle thing or bad circumstances or things, ideas that have been imprinted on the minds of these childs and teens.
Well, now how about
those areas I make significant changes.
Now, how about in the areas today of just motivation? I mean, you know, from the standpoint with, especially with young people, just to help motivate them, even if it's just in the direction of, you know, of what they want to do, you know, but just, you know, is hypnotherapy something that's considered real beneficial in that area?
If they don't want to make the change, I'm not sure exactly what we're talking about. We're trying to talk about getting kids to stop playing so much Nintendo and watching TV and spending more time doing their homework.
Perfect.
I'm not sure.
That's a perfect example. But yeah, I was going to say just of kids that say, you know, I really want to do well in school, but when it comes right down to it, they just aren't motivated to do it. But your example is a perfect example.
The powers of being a teenager or a young teenager are very strong and to socialize and into that adult world as quickly as possible is pretty powerful among teens and young, you know, young teens as well. More into video games and all that stuff. I was a kid, I did well in school, but I loved playing. I loved playing my Nintendo back in the day. And I'll tell you, it depends on the kid. It depends on the kid and the level of motivation and commitment to making a change. If it's too strong, if all those other aspects are too strong for them to really put school as a priority ahead of things, then no, they're not going to make a change. They're going to be wasting their money, and I'm not going to see a client or I'm not going to work with a child who's only seeing me because mommy and daddy is making them. It's bad for my reputation, and it, because it doesn't, if it doesn't benefit the child, it's not worth it.
Right.
I won't work with kids who are forced to come. I want kids who want to make this change, whatever change that might be. They have to want it.
Well, and I agree. Now, obviously, we talked about the fact you're in Orange County, California. For those people that are listening, this show goes all over the country. In fact, it goes all over the world. For those people who cannot get to Orange County for five sessions, I know you have a CD series. How could people get a hold of you, or how can they get the CD series, and how successful has that been in comparison to the in-person sessions?
CD series is an adjunct or an add-on, I would say. It's certainly not the silver bullet in making permanent change. It gives enormous amounts of relief, and it certainly whets the appetite for those people who are looking to pursue more complete and permanent changes. But it's a great first start, and each of them have terrific tools, whether dealing with more confidence issues. I mean, those are different titles that I focus on my self-help audio, self-hypnosis CDs. They will give great tools to help people feel comfortable in situations, step up to the plate. It's a great tool. The best way to find out about it is either going to my website, which is tshypnosis.com, or emailing me, Mark with a C, Mark@tshypnosis.com, or you can just give me a call. If I'm in session, leave a message, I'll call back. My number is 949-371-3149. And they can learn more about my program sessions. They can talk about if they're all over the country and all over the world. I have other colleagues who studied in the schools I've studied and are at the aptitude and depth that I am all over the world. There are very few people who can do the level of hypnotherapy that I can do. It takes a lot of training and a lot of courage, a lot of training. But there are colleagues that I trust all over the world and in touch with. So if anyone's somewhere other than California, I can definitely connect them with the right people. And I'm very particular.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time. I'd love to have you back. And one of the things that I would love to close with, if we've got just about 30 seconds, is can you give us one of your best success stories?
Oh, there's just some. I can't tell you how many times it just ranges from. I was working with a 9-year-old who was, you know, completely potty trained, but for some reason she wouldn't go to the bath. She'd only go to the bathroom number two. She wouldn't go in the toilet, only in her pants and her clothes. It was terribly embarrassing for her. And we did our work, and it was resolved. After the second session, she started showing great improvements. By the fourth session, it was completely resolved.
Well,
that was amazing. So many kids with just feel good about themselves in school and feel self-worth among their peers. And growing up, knowing that they're okay and that they don't have to be like other people. There's just so many things, so many fears and phobias and anxiety.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you.
One's not popping to mind.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, and again, I appreciate it very much. And again, for anybody, if you have questions or you want to look at the CD series, it's www.tshypnosis.com. And for those of you driving and you can't write that down, you can still always go to our site. It's Answers, the numeral 4, thefamilyblog.com. And give us the question, or you will find all the information on how to reach Mark on our site. Mark, again, thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again soon, and hopefully we can have you back.
I love that. Thank you so much for having me on, Alan.
All right, Mark. Thank you. All right, we're going to be right back. And when we are back, we're going to be talking about a wonderful subject for now, which is Valentine's Day. We're going to be talking about love. So stay with us. We'll be back. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. All right, we're back, and we are now going to be getting on the line Diana Kirshner. Diana is a PhD doctor, and she is the author of Sealing the Deal, The Love Mentor's Guide to Lasting Love. We're going to get her on the line, and the main topic we want to go into is how to be happily in love together forever.
Dr. Kirshner.
Dr. Kirshner, Alan Cardoza for Answers for the Family, and you are on the air.
Ah, fantastic. Hi, Alan. How are you?
I am doing great, and I just want you to know I really appreciate you coming on the air, and really with kind of short notice, and I can imagine being Valentine's Day, it's probably keeping you pretty busy.
It's crazy here. It's crazy hectic, and I tell you, everybody wants love. Everybody wants lasting, passionate love on Valentine's Day especially.
Well, let's talk about that. And I had a chance to go through your book, Sealing the Deal, and you started right off from the standpoint that for people to get into the right mindset, that you need to retrain your brain. You need to first get out of your own way. What do you mean by that?
Well, we all tend to have what I call relationship killer beliefs that destroy love. And these are knee-jerk negative thoughts that kick in whenever anything goes south in a relationship. So you kind of go on a rant in your mind instead of focusing on exactly what happened and fixing the problem. I described six of them in Sealing the Deal and what to do to stop them from ruining your whole relationship. Now, one of the most common is love is too hard. Love is too difficult. I'll never get what I want. Another common one is, I'll never have love because something's wrong with me. I'm too old, I'm too fat, whatever it is. But when you start with these self-sabotaging thoughts, of course, your mood goes downhill, you get very stressed out, the cortisol levels increase, and internally, you know, you're collapsing. And at the same time, what happens with your relationship? You tend to be cold, you're irritable, or worse.
Right.
And basically, you know, you're pushing the person away. You're pushing your partner away. Whereas if you just focused on the facts of what happened, you know, for example, let's say your husband didn't bring you flowers on Valentine's Day. If you just focus on those facts and then use what I call positive shaping talk to ask for what you want in a warm and loving way. For example, say you could say, oh, honey, I would really love it if you got me a dozen roses or 18 roses now, you know, to make it up to me. You can actually get what you need and get what you want. You know, in a relationship, you have to help the other person come through for you. You have to help them. They're not going to be able to read your mind. So being very clear about what you need and want is really, really key to keeping that love relationship working.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, it sounds like all of these things stem around low self-esteem.
Well, yes. A lot of what happens in a love relationship revolves around your deservedness and your self-love. And that's why in Sealing the Deal, I have a whole section on how to develop what I call your diamond self-identity. This is your ideal self-identity. You know, when they do research on identity, what they find is that the actual neural connections in your brain that represent identity tend to change all the time. There's no fixed wire that represents you. It actually changes all the time. And you can focus your attention on the part, an identity, that the ideal self identity, and do what I kind of call a Queen Latifah move, you know. Queen Latifah was born Dana Owens, but she found a part of herself where she was very empowered and felt very deserving and very lovable and attractive, and she gave that part of herself, that identity, that ideal self, a name, and it was Queen Latifah. And she is, you know, she proceeds that name out in the world. And all of us can do that, can actually really actualize, find and actualize our ideal self. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, and that helps not only you, but it helps your love relationship.
Well, and I couldn't agree more, and I appreciate you coming on the King Alan Show, okay? I'm going to rename the show right now. It's now the King Alan Cardoza Show.
I love it. King Alan. King Alan. Yay.
Oh. Well,
King Alan. Now, when you go home to your wife, are you married?
No, I'm not, but I am very happily in love.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you should share your diamond self name with her, because she can call you King Alan. And then the next suggestion I have for many couples, especially on Valentine's Day, is to act like you're having an affair with each other. What I mean by that is to act like you're having an affair with your own spouse,
mm-hmm.
or with your partner. In this case, it's your love partner. You know, imagine what you might be saying or doing if you were having an affair. If it's a long-term marriage, you know, maybe you wouldn't be wearing those sweats. You would be wearing something more attractive. You could, you know, meet each other at a bar and act like you just met each other. But the question is to ask yourself, what would I be saying or doing if I was having an affair with this person right now?
Right. And so it sounds
And that generates new, you know, a lot of new interactions.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that it's sort of a role-playing type of thing where you're going to play the role of something for that particular day. I like that. And I know that, in fact, I'll now find out when I get home if she was listening to the show, because I'll know how I'm addressed. Now, one of the other things that I saw in the book, and I know that we really only have limited time, but it had in there, you know, that there's some single key things. Now, what would you say is the single most important thing that we can do for ourselves and for our relationship?
Well, I think the most important thing that you can do is actually get back to having fun with each other. You know, that's the way you first came together. You were having fun. You were doing novel things. You were going for walks in the park. You were kissing in the movies. Having fun inside the bedroom and outside the bedroom is so important, to have that glue, to have that bond that keeps you in love. You know, you don't seal the deal just once with a commitment or a marriage proposal. You have to keep sealing the deal over and over and over again in your relationship. You have to rekindle that love and go back to having fun. You know, if you laugh together, that is such a bonding thing, to share humor. It's very, very powerful, and people forget about that. They go one wrote, they're busy, 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 the work, the kids, the errands, and so forth. Make some dates where you are having fun outside and some dates where you are having fun in the bedroom.
Now, you've been married for 25 years. Give us some suggestions of some things for those people that have been together a long time.
Well, if you've been together a long time, it's even more important to do novel things. You must do novel things, because otherwise things get dreadfully boring and rote, or at least they can. So anything new will change it up. Change where you eat dinner. Change, the way you address each other. Change what you do for fun. Go to a play instead of a movie. Go on a different kind of trip, a different kind of vacation. Change what you do in the bedroom. Any little change will help create dopamine. And dopamine is the infatuation or falling in love biochemical. So little changes count a lot.
Nice. Now I know we have a lot of parents out there, and especially single parents. What recommendations would you give them, especially single parents that are out there and they realize that, you know, their children are taking up so much of their life? We get people that call in or email in saying, you know, I'm having trouble really establishing a relationship because there just isn't that much time in the day.
Well, you have to understand that you are role model for your children, and if they see you lonely or, you know, struggling through life or overworking and not having any joy in life and not having much fun in life, that's what you are teaching them. If they see you without love in your life, that's what you are role modeling for them. So you must prioritize. I mean, if this is important to you, you need to prioritize and squeeze out that time to create a love relationship. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot of time. You can do some quick online dating, meet some people for coffee dates. They don't have to take too long. Online dating is actually a numbers game. You want to quickly meet a lot of people and find some interesting ones with low expectations so you don't burn out, but you can meet some great people online. But you need to take time for yourself, and you need to create and, you know, open up possibilities in terms of creating a love relationship, even if it's just a few hours a week, you know, an hour a week. You can squeeze out an hour a week to work on it.
Right, and I think you're bringing up a great point, because I think that, and I hear from a lot of parents where there's a level of guilt to where they think, well, you know, I'm not, if I'm doing that, I'm not giving my children enough time, or the children are actually, you know, kind of reinforcing that with, well, you know, how come you don't have time for me now, or something like that. But I think you bring up a great point, is that is what you are modeling for them. You know, if you're modeling this for them, how much good are you really doing for them?
Yeah. I mean, you can feel guilty about not having a love relationship. I know there's plenty to feel guilty about as a parent, but you know, the thing is, do quality time. Have quality time with your child. I used to have special time with each of my children, and what that meant was, you know, I gave them my complete and full attention for at least an hour a week. They would have their very special time, and they got to pick the activity. There was no other thing happening, no phone calls, no emails, no texting, nothing, and they got the full attention. So the special time is quality time, and that adds up a lot for a child. That adds up a lot. It's your attention the child needs, and so giving the full attention, it kind of fills their tank. And then you give special time to yourself. Make sure that you give special time to yourself, as I say, even an hour a week. And, you know, it may start with you really being loving to yourself, which means you actually take that bubble bath that you've been wanting to take with your book in the warm, wonderful tub. You actually give yourself special time. And that is a great role model for the kids, too.
All right. You know, I think we have a caller coming in. I'm going to take a call. And you know what? I have to – it's add to conference.
Time to yourself.
Hi, listener. Listener,
time to yourself.
You were on the listener. You have to turn your phone down.
Really being loving to yourself, which means you have to take that bubble bath.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now, for those people, when you're calling in, we really need you to turn your phone down when you call in, because we're operating on about a 7-second delay. Now, and actually, we just have a couple more minutes. So one of the things that I noticed that you touch on, in sealing the deal, is for those that are thinking about getting married, the question is, should we live together first? And I know you address that in your book. Share with our listeners your answers and how they might be surprised by it.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a whole chapter about whether or not you should live together, looking the research on that, and what they found is that if there is a commitment before you move in together, now that can either be an engagement, meaning you're going to get married, or there's a commitment to have a shared lifetime together, then it tends to work out well. It really works out well. But if you don't have a commitment, it does not tend to work out well. Because, of course, once you move in with each other, you know, all the little habits, the trash building up and the dishes not being done and everything else are going to get on your nerves. And if there's no contract to work things through and team and figure out a way to be together, it's usually splitsville. And it's a pain in the neck because you've invested money and a lot of time and energy, and it's hard to move out. But that's what tends to happen if there's no actual commitment.
Well, doctor, I got to tell you, I'm really happy that you came on. I would love it if you could come on again when we can maybe do a full show on this. But for Valentine's Day, coming on, talking to people a little bit about how to be happily in love together forever, I just really thank you so much. And for anybody, if they want to know how to get the book, how can they do that?
Well, the book is available everywhere. It's online at Amazon and at all bookstores. And because we're launching it this week, if you buy it this week, go to my website and get hundreds of dollars worth of free gifts just for buying the book. So it's very exciting. And my website is loveinninetydays.com. That's loveinninetydays.com.
All right. Now, for everybody out there, it is Valentine's Day. Have love today and check out the website, loveinninetydays.com. And if you don't already have love, hey, you may have it within 90 days. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks a lot, King Alan. Enjoy
all right.
Your
all right.
Rain.
Thank you so much. All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Everybody, again, have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Seek to catch someone doing something good. This is King Alan signing off for the new King Alan Show. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.